the last two verses, verses 20 and 21, say that the law was brought in so that the trespasses might increase. But where sins increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here, Paul kind of closes chapter 5, pointing out and identifying that the law was brought in not to bring redemption, but the law was brought in to identify sin, to show us how far away we were from God. And now he's going to make that point and start making that point in chapter 6. Who do you identify with, or who are you going to be united with? When God created the world, it was just good. There was no sin. But when Adam sinned, he brought sin and death into the world. So now what we're saying is, or what Paul is saying is, who are you going to identify with? Are you going to identify with sin and death? Or do you want to identify with grace and eternal life reigning in heaven? And there's going to be a choice that we have to make. So chapter 6, he's going to start making that choice and start showing how we identify. How are we united with Christ? And it's just going to continue to reinforce that thought and those statements. So I'll start reading in chapter 6. And this is following the last two verses of chapter 5. It says, so what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if I died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so here, that's what Paul is asking. Who are you going to identify with? What part are you going to be with? So should we continue in sin? That's what he's asking. So should we continue in sin? Or put it another way, do we want to remain in sin? Or do we want to find grace? Justification in Jesus Christ. That's what he's asking. Where do you want to be? And so he asked that question. So what shall we do then? Shall we go on sinning? Is that what we're going to do? And the answer to that question is, he answers, by no means. What that is saying is, absolutely not. There's an area in this. As a Christian born again, that is not even a question. We don't want to be any part of sin. And so that's why he's saying, by no means we are those that have died to sin. How can we continue to live in it any longer? And if we crawl back in chapter 5, in verse 17, it said that sin reigns like a king in our bodies and in our minds. But yet, grace received through Jesus Christ will reign in life through Christ. So that's where we want to be. We want to remain in Christ and have that eternal life with him. And sin and death reigned previously, but now grace reigns through the righteousness leading to eternal life. And we are dead to the power of sin. So Paul's not saying that we will never sin, that we'll never sin again. But in 1 John chapter 1, verses 10, and then through chapter 2, verse 2, it says, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Paul's not saying that we're not going to sin, but when we do sin, and because we've been united with Jesus, his blood will wash us and make us pure and acceptable on the day of judgment. And it's still flowing. It not only flowed on the cross, but it's still flowing today. Jesus is still atoning for our sins at this very moment. And so that's where we want to be. This has nothing, death has no power over us anymore. Death doesn't have that power. We live in Jesus Christ. And that's where our strength is found in. In chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. So, to be baptized into Christ is symbolic of us taking our old bodies, our bodies of sin, in his death, we bury those. Then when we break through the water, when you come up, when you come out of the water, you're born again. And now you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and also you have the atoning blood of Jesus to be able to cover you. And so sin and death have no more power over us. Now, we will probably die a physical death, but not a spiritual death. We will live forever, but we'll live forever with God. Everyone's going to live forever, but it's where you're going. And so, but we will live with God. And so we are a new person, and we're joined to Jesus Christ. And that's very symbolic in baptism. We take our old self, we go under the water. The water rolls over you, kind of symbolic of the ground covering you. And then when you break through that, it's symbol of new life. You were dead, but now you're alive. You're alive in Jesus Christ. So, again, we want to serve a living God. We want to serve with Jesus, the atoning blood that he has shed. And we'll reign in life and not sin. Don't let sin reign over us. So now that we live in Christ, we follow his rules and submit our lives to him and to our Heavenly Father. That's who we submit ourselves to. It's not to this world. And in 6:5 it says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Again, this is what we find. There's certainty in this statement. There's certainty. If we've died like Jesus did, which he died, we will be resurrected just as he was. He was resurrected. And so we know we have that certainty. That's a promise. And baptism, again, symbolizes that fact, that if we were united with Jesus in his burial, that we will be united with him in his resurrection. So God's grace through Jesus has overwhelmed our sins, so that when we are united to Jesus, we can reign with him in life. And in Jesus, we have the hope and the knowledge that we know that we will be raised and live with him and reign with him in heaven. And God's covered our sins with his blood. He's covered our sins with his blood. So now when we stand before God, we stand before him forgiven because of what Jesus, not only what Jesus did, but it's what God did for us. God provided that way for us. And in verse 6, we're going to see that, that result of what God has done for us. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So again, we see that this is what God has done. He's provided a way for us that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. He's provided that way. And the rule of sin has been broken. It's been broken in our lives. And there are so many we can become enslaved to. And we not only see it, we've experienced it. And it's because of Jesus that we've overcome it. I mean, and you see there's sexual immorality. You can get caught up in that. There's alcohol. Again, you can get caught up in that. For some people, it's work. Comes in their way. For others, it's money. You only live for the money. How much more can I get? Again, you see it everywhere. Drugs. Not only illegal, but legal. So there are so many different sins and different temptations that can grab a hold of us and just take us down a whole different world. And unfortunately, we've had personal experience with some people that the drugs just have such a hold on you. And they know about Jesus. They know about Jesus. But the drugs just affect your mind. And unfortunately, you know, the young man we knew, he passed away because of it. But he loved Jesus with all his heart. And again, Paul and I, we loved him so much. We're not judging. He wasn't in his right mind. But the things that he was experiencing and living on the streets and those kind of things, it's very rough. And it's hard to watch someone do that, but unfortunately, we cared for him more than he cared for himself. And so it's just that way. But again, if you are ensnared, if you are in those chains of those different devices, again, God has provided a way out. He's provided that way out for each and every one of us. It's not hopeless. It is not hopeless. And the body of sin can be brought to nothing. It can be brought to nothing. You know, again, we're not hopeless or lost to the power of sin. God offers freedom from that enslavement. And God is trying to restore us and redeem us from our enslavement to sin. And that's what Paul's going to be teaching us on how to break that enslavement to sin by crucifying your old self from it. And in verse 7, it says, "Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." So again, Paul's speaking about that symbolic death, that baptism being united with Jesus in his death. And if we look back at Romans chapter 5, where it says, Paul, that you must be united with Jesus in a death like his, when we die with Christ, we'll be set free from the power of sin over us. And Paul is saying, die with Christ and be set free from sin. Again, I have family members that they believed, but that was about it. There was no practice or anything like that. But when they were dying, we would go and talk before, I mean, they were still capable, but they knew the time was coming. We would talk to them about, if you want to repent, you believe in God, we know that you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, would you want to repent and admit that you're a sinner, and then confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. And I remember my dad looked at me and said, "Son, I've been sinning for 62 years. You think God can forgive me in just 1 hour?" I said, "Absolutely, he can." "Yeah, he can't. He can't." He didn't want to hear it anymore. I had an uncle that loved Paula. Paula did the same thing, talked to him. "I was born a Catholic. I will die a Catholic. That's the end of our conversation about religion. I love you, but that's it." Their hearts are closed. And unfortunately, I told Paula, there's many people, God is not the God that we know. Their God is too small. He can't do things. Our God can forgive anything. We have the thief on the cross at the 11th hour. He was forgiven. He was forgiven. But we live in a world where they box God in. They don't want to hear it. And it's a shame. It's really a shame to see that. And so in verse 8, it says, "Now if we died," 8 and 9, it says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." So again, on this one, Paul's using that figure of baptism to show that we're united with Jesus. And verse 8 parallels verse 5 in this chapter. Of what's happening with Jesus is also happening with us. And so that connection of coming in contact with Jesus, that's how we come in contact with him. That's something that's Church of Christ. That's the truth. It's found in God's word. This is how we become united with Jesus. And that's what Paul, he just keeps saying this over and over. He just said, get this home. Who are you united with? Who are you going to identify with? And so again, we've all died with Christ, and again, we've been raised. And so that's the strength and the hope that we have. And in verse 10, it says that the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So here it says he died to sin. It doesn't say that he died for sins. Jesus did die for sins, but he died to sins. He never sinned. He never let the powers of this world, the temptations of Satan, he never let any of that come into his life. He died to sin. He lived that perfect life. So again, sin had no power over Jesus. Never did. He conquered that. And in doing that, he showed that God was in rule of his life. Everything he was to please and to bring glory to God. He was that example. And he did that. And when he went to the cross, again, it wasn't man that killed him on that cross. Jesus gave his life. He gave his life for that. And so again, and that was in submission to God's plan. Jesus knew, this is what I need to do. And he was going to do it. And he did do it because he lived for God. He loved God. And again, in verse 11, it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Again, because of that example of Jesus, and how he submitted his life to God's will and doing God's work, we as Christians are able to do the same. We can pray. We ask God. We have to remember this is God's church. And we are workers. We're called to work. We're called to do what we have to do. But we need to pray and ask for God's guidance and his direction and his knowledge on how we can become more effective as Christians. How can we do that? And he'll provide a way. He always does. He provides that way. And so again, it's just about living our lives to Jesus and to God. And if we go back allowing sin to reign in our lives, then we become enslaved to sin again. And that's pretty much just taking Jesus' blood and throwing it on the ground. I don't need it. And again, you can do that. God is still going to be looking for you. He's still seeking you, but we have free agency. And so we can choose to do that, but as Christians, we don't want to. We know the difference between good and evil and where we're going to go. So we need to present ourselves to God, not to sin. We need to be doing His work and His will. And again, this is with every part of our body. Every part of our body should be used as instruments to bring glory to God the Father. And even Jesus had said, you know, if your left hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to go through life with only one hand than to have that hand lead you to sin. Or same with your eye. Gouge it out. Better just to have one eye in life, but still have God as your ruler. And so that, again, that's how we need to look at it. And so, in tonight, if you're not a member of the church and you are struggling with some of the temptations and the enslavement and the empowerment of evil and sin, again, it's not hopeless. God has provided a way through Jesus to overcome the power of sin and evil. And how did He provide that? Through the gospel. And we find the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, Paul says it. He says it in kind of a nutshell. He says it in a nutshell, but very precise. That in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And according to the scriptures. So again, we remember that Jesus did die. If you're here this evening and you're not a member of the church and you do believe that Jesus died, He died on the cross, that He also was buried in a tomb. And if you believe that, and then He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And again, if you believe that, you believe that He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected, it's time for you to repent and admit and call that, yes, I am a sinner and I fall short. And I need to come in contact with that grace that God has provided for me through Jesus. Then you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then be baptized. And just as Paul has been stating here, that's where you are united with Jesus. And so tonight, if there's any way that we have water and it's ready. If there's any way that we can help you in God's grace, be with Jesus. Or maybe you have struggles. There's different things going on in life. Life isn't always easy. You have struggles or difficulties or need prayers. Again, this is a church. We believe in prayer. And we would love to help you. You can come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song, or you can see one of us after the service, and we'd be glad to pray with you at that time, or to see if we might be able to assist you in another way. So, Brian,
all right, we'll see you. 9:26.